Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Southwest Louisiana Economic Intel Podcast. I am Dan Groff, Director of the Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis, Associate Professor of Economics at McNeese, and economist with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. So we took a little break. You know, I'm a professor and classes and exams got hectic, and then we had the holiday break, and we will continue our podcast looking at the individual parishes. But as time permitted this, we wanted to take a break and talk about charitable endeavors and donor volunteer opportunities and how those play a role in the local community, lives of citizens, and the local economy. Today we're joined by Aaron Davison and Ben Drouillet. Aaron is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southwest Louisiana. BBS is the largest donor and volunteer-supported mentoring network in the region. And Aaron has over 25 years of fundraising, grant writing, program design and development, community outreach, and human resources experience. She has been at the helm of Big Brothers Big Sisters through the pandemic and all the natural disasters that we experienced here. Ben Drouillet, he works here at the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance as a chamber member agent and is involved as a Big Brother in the organization. Thank you for agreeing to be on. We really appreciate it. We're taking a break.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure. And I often say from an economic development perspective, we sometimes have to flip our thinking. So many places would love to have our industrial base, and we are very lucky to have it. But we have to utilize those economic resources to improve the quality of life and hope it lifts everyone up. You know, and a big part of that is the volunteer opportunities, the charitable causes, and nonprofit philanthropic efforts. So we're very happy to have you on, and we really appreciate your time. So how did you come into your current position, and what can you tell us about Big Brothers Big Sisters?
So I've been in my position, it'll be 7 years in May. And just kind of happenstance, I love the organization. I used to be a big sister back in high school many moons ago, so I'm very familiar with what we do and how we do things with youth mentoring. And then just landed in the role and just hit the ground running back in 2017. And what we do is we foster and create positive change in one-to-one mentoring relationships with youth ages 6 to 18, sometimes 6 to 19, 6 to 20. And all we're doing is just positive relationship building to where we're providing the tools and resources to our youth for them to be healthy, whole, you know, adults in our community as they get older, and just make positive change in the world, and whether it's their circle or the world. And we just foster that positive relationship through the duration of their development.
Oh, okay. And it goes up to like 18 and 19.
Oh, yeah.
Normally when you think Big Brother, you think kids, but no, you see them throughout their whole time.
Oh, definitely. If they're matched at 8 or they're matched with their big brother or big sister at 12, excuse me, we match them, we support them through their development. So whenever you're 8, you have a different need as an 8-year-old. It could be literacy, reading, writing, behavior. But when you're 12, 13, 15, 18, there's a different development need. It could be, you know, a financial literacy, you know, school to employment opportunities or entrepreneurship or just positive self-esteem, making the right choices as a teenager. So we've learned that if we follow them through their whole development, then they are 100% better off than if we just mentor for a year and then say, oh, you've met your need as an 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be good when you're 16. And we figured out that they still need us when they're teenagers.
Right. And I even read, like, at the beginning of this that you were here through all the natural disasters, through COVID and everything. And this is an econ podcast, as I'm always pointing out. And a big part of the economy is its people. And so we hear a lot about our population drop, school enrollment being up or down. How do you feel that Big Brothers, Big Sisters, as well as other nonprofits you've observed and worked with, contribute to the quality of life and help children to grow up to be good and productive from the economic side, productive members of society?
Well, as a nonprofit, we are still a business. So we are an economic driver within our community. We hire, we provide tax dollars back into our communities and our neighborhoods, and we fundraise, we're philanthropic ourselves. And then you take what we do with youth mentoring, poverty and education are the two number one denominators for economic disadvantaged societies. So with mentoring, we are educating our youth through reading, writing, math, stay in school, don't skip school. But we're also mentoring them through positive change, which meaning if we have a youth that does not go into juvenile detention or does not go into adult incarceration, that is saving our society over, I want to say, like $80,000 in a lifetime. And so part of that economic change is through our mentoring, and it's very simple, is that if we're providing that positive outlook and we're providing the education, we're empowering our youth to be economic drivers themselves. And with our community, with the disasters, I call it the apocalypse.
Felt that way.
That's the only nice word I can say on an economic podcast.
Yeah.
But there's also a silver lining. Like a disaster or disaster such as what we went through for 3 years or 2 years does drive the economy in a different way. And then two, we're seeing it's opened the curtain on disadvantage and equity and inequality of neighborhoods and schools. And the majority of our kids come from families that are asset limited. So they're working poor. They're right above that poverty threshold, but they're poverty stricken themselves. So education, if we empower, that will in turn allow for economic growth. And then $1 for every $18 that's invested in a youth mentoring program comes out to be $30,000 to $40,000 additional a year in a salary of that youth who's been mentored. Which if you think if they have a $40,000 increase in a salary projection, they're going to invest double that back into their own community, buying a house, gas, commodities, trading, jobs. So it just makes sense that youth mentoring completely equals to economic growth and diversity.
Yeah, and what did you see through these natural disasters, you know, and even a lot of people sometimes forget that, like, COVID and the natural disasters, they followed one another, but we had these sort of supply chain problems, and it was hard to get materials, it was hard to get to recover. So it was like nothing we'd seen before. Rita was not comparable. Like, Laura, we had this big natural disaster in terms of the supply chain, and it led to a lot of slow recovery. People pointed out in a lot of underserved areas too. Like, what did you see mentoring people and working with people, or children, I should say, that were in, how difficult was it to, like, keep them here, you know, have them not move away and things like that? Or was there not any choice?
It was challenging. I mean, there wasn't a choice. I mean, you think about the families we serve, asset limited families, they're normally not their own homeowner. They're either leasing an apartment or they're leasing a house, or if they do own a home, the value of that home is less than what the insurance premium could be. So one, the challenge with those families is that they didn't have proper insurance coverage when it comes to, you know, dwellings, and it comes to wind, hail damage, that kind of thing. And then two, those neighborhoods do not necessarily have a strong business or industry base. You look at North Lake Charles.
Yeah.
North Lake Charles, unless you are located on 171 North as a drive-through to Moss Bluff, there is not a large or very sound economic business base in that area. So those tax dollars are not going to be driven, as opposed to South Lake Charles or Mid-City or even on the west side. Not that that's their fault, but there is a difference in the dollars that are coming in as opposed to the dollars that are going out. And when you look at storm recovery, neighborhoods who don't have a strong infrastructure are not the first choice in utility revamping. You know, utilities, when it comes to electricity and water, if there is a hospital, healthcare center, if there's a school, if there is a parish or civic facility, that is first choice, of course, because we need healthcare. We need, you know, those industries. If there's a grocery store, there's not a grocery store in that thoroughfare in North Lake Charles unless you get to Walmart on the Bayou. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the neighborhoods that was not priority in the grand scheme of recovery. Mm-hmm. Again, not anybody's fault.
Right.
But it opened that veil of these families are working. They're employed. They're employed in hospitality and gaming. They're employed in industry, pipe fitting, at gas stations. Those are the essential jobs that are consistently active. But their assets and their economic empowerment is far less than what other regions of our community. So it definitely opened our eyes and saying, wait a minute, like, these are the changes that need to happen. Mm-hmm. How we get there, I don't know. But it's empowerment.
Well, and you recently received a grant from Mackenzie Scott. And can you tell us a little about that and how that will be used and what plans are you thinking about? And she's not Mackenzie Scott Bezos anymore, I don't think. But if you don't know who that is, that's who it is.
Yes, yeah. She's our own woman. So she is a national philanthropist. She has decided to give almost all of her wealth away in her lifetime. And in May of 2022.
You have my contact, right?
Yeah.
All right, just if you need it. Yeah. All
right. In May of 2022, I get this email and this phone call about we were chosen to be a recipient of a $1.12 million one-time only donation from Mackenzie Scott. And there wasn't any RFP sent. There wasn't anything. She does her own work. She's amazing. And that was a pivotal point for us because we were out of money. Let's be honest. As an organization, I refused to lay off any staff during the pandemic and the apocalypse. I refused to lessen our services because we're essential for youth and families. And so I knew that taking that risk and then our recovery from insurance and storm damage to our building, we depleted our entire reserve fund. So in April of 2022, we had $100,000 total in the organization that served six parishes. So I get this amazing windfall of $1.12 million. And as soon as we were able to speak with my board, I told my board, I was like, we can't spend this because I don't know if we'll ever be able to receive a transformative gift such as this from a philanthropist in our world. So we, of course, paid off initial immediate bills that we had before we had our insurance settled. And I said, we need to have an endowment. We need to build a forever fund for this organization to try to diversify our financial portfolio best. We've diversified anyway. We don't receive one lump sum of donations a year. So that helped us stay afloat during the apocalypse because we're diversified. Cash is king. Reserve funds, that's business. But with her donation, that big defender fund was priority for me from day one when I was hired, because we need that for future proofing. We need it also for more programming, economic programming. I would love to have an industrial mentoring program with my teenagers and young adults to have them go into school to employment immediately at 18 years old and make a living. We don't have that here. That's a wish list of ours. So having the Big Defender Fund in partnership with the Community Foundation of Southwest Louisiana is allowing us to have a different donor base that will allow us to operate in the next 40 years after me.
Right.
And plus, who knows? It's not if a hurricane's coming, it's when. Mm-hmm. So
please don't say that right now.
There's no wood.
Right. Okay, and now we're going to go to Ben Drouillet. Ben, you've been very involved with the organization, and you also work here at Alliance, so I wanted to talk to you on this podcast about how you got involved, and from an economic development standpoint, you know, how do you think the work these organizations do can benefit the economy?
Yeah, Dr. Goff, first off, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here with you and Aaron. I got involved I was 8 years old. First time I went to a Big Brothers Big Sisters event. It was through my father. He was a big at the time and didn't really understand what the organization was about. But as I got a little older, I started paying attention. And it's about helping out those in the community that don't have maybe the support that someone else was born in, but
you know what? So a big means you're a mentor, right? You're a big brother or you're a big sister, and you just shorten it to a big mm-hmm. when you're talking about. Okay, sorry.
Yeah. So I got involved with my father about 4 years ago, is whenever I jumped off the cliff and became a big myself. And how it helps with economics is it's not just helping this young individual potentially become a positive part of the workforce. It also helps the business community see that it's not all about profit and loss. Sometimes it's about slowing down at the end of the month. Hey, what project can we do to help big brothers, big sisters? What can we do that's not about our bottom line, but about helping the whole, you could say?
Okay, and do you think it's going to help? I mean, also Ben is an econ major, so we sometimes talk shop. Do you think it can help the labor force in the long term, or a more productive labor force, you know? Because our MSA has already seen drops in the labor force, and it's still not recovered. But it'll help people stay here, come back and work, and, you know, be productive members.
Absolutely. So the work Big Brothers Big Sisters does directly targets those youth that statistically aren't going to make it. They're the ones that are against, they have everything against them. So the fact that Big Brothers Big Sisters can come out, find these individuals, it's not a magic trick, right? It takes years of back and forth training. There's summer programs. I'm not in this alone as a big. I've got support on the back end. I've got summer programs that my little brother Caden can go to, and I've seen him mature. Not that it's, you know, happens overnight, but I've seen his reading skills increase in a huge way. And yeah, at the end of the day, you know, he's 10 years old now, but when he's 17, 18, you know, I'm talking to his mom. We want him to have a job. And what does that look like? For Caden, it might be a firefighter. It might be a construction worker. You know, there's no one definition of how to get this done, but I know in the long run for society, and this is directly targeting those that aren't supposed to make it, giving them the resources to try to become the best individual they can, and yeah, and hopefully become a positive part of the society.
And if you get that industrial mentor program, it could be...
Yeah, it can all work together.
And also, y'all support McNeese Sports, right? I've seen some big brothers, big sisters at the football games, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, football games, basketball games, volleyball games. We're there. I mean, that's McNeese Sports is a huge supporter. McNeese is a supporter of ours. Mm-hmm. And we love to bring all of our matches and bigs and littles and just any community event. It's right. Just we're family.
Yep. And so as an economic podcast, we always like to get opinions from our guests about where they see the region and economy going. Do you have any thoughts?
I'm a class half full. I see our region and our economy continue to grow. I mean, if you look at back in, 2007 or 2008, 2009-ish, we weren't as impacted as our nation when it came to the housing market and downturn of business because we have seated facilities here. And then we had our big contracts come through in 18, 19 with LNG starting up and then Sasol and then, you know, all of those. And so I think where we are as a region, we are going to continue to grow and be strong. It's just going to be in different areas to where we have to be more flexible in those areas, as well as more flexible in learning that we may not have we're not prepared yet for some of those large industry or large projects. So we need to look at that in a projection way. I mean, Dr. Lauren Scott says it all that every year. We're good. We can be much stronger and better. But I know in our neck of the woods, the hill to boot, in Louisiana, we are still a very huge economic driver globally and commodity-wise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And quality of life is getting so much better because we have to attract those families mm-hmm. and with education, with dog parks, with restaurants, with festivals. So we are a hidden gem in our region, and we're strong. We had a little bit of a little tipping point there with the disasters, but I think we came out of it in a really good position. I just know that our disadvantaged and economically disadvantaged families, we could do a lot more for them, definitely.
Agreed. Well said, Aaron. It's personally, I'm starting to see a lot positive things start to come from that terrible few years we went to. As far as workforce, people are starting to come back to the city. You'll see some of the bigger parks in the area, Samuelson State Park, Drew Park in town's getting some work. So you're starting to see some of the positive things come back. But it was unbelievable what we went through. And I tip my cap to you, Aaron, that the front that you were on, that's a front that gets forgotten very quickly whenever things hit the fan. So thank you again for stepping up, because in the long run, this community will be much better with the stronger Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Yeah, and that's why we want to highlight it on this podcast. So thank you so much for being on, and thank you so much for all the hard work you do for the community and all the citizens in it, and will definitely help the economy overall. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. Yeah.
This show is presented by the H.C. Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis at McNeese State University in partnership with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. You can find more information about our regional economy at www.mcneesedrewecon.org.